Hello, this is John Politon. I want to welcome you to Reformed Living. The passionate pursuit of holiness, obedience to the Word of God in every area, is the essence of the Christian life. It is my sincere prayer that the time we spend together today in God's Word will enable all of us to walk in greater holiness and thus to live our lives more to the glory of God.
Celeste Montague, thank you for joining us as we continue to bring you special Christmas programming on Reformed Living with John Politon. Merry Christmas, everyone. Today we bring you more of a message titled The Announcement of the Virgin Birth, Part 3. We are journeying through the story of the birth of Jesus with a focus upon how this most important birth announcement was made and to whom it was made. To a priest, a virgin, a carpenter, shepherds, wise men. Let's listen as John picks things up by encouraging all of us to have more discernment about the people around us who may not know Christ at all, but seem to acknowledge him at Christmas time. Here's John Politon.
I hear people, well, you know, they're this or they're that, or this individual is that, and, you know, some ball player hits a home run and points to the sky, oh, he must be a Christian. Please have more discernment than that. And we have such a tremendous opportunity to talk about the real truth at this time of the year. When you say Jesus is Lord, you're saying Jesus is Almighty God. And there are many groups that say many good things and wonderful things and truthful things about Jesus, but they will not say Jesus is God. And if they don't do that, they're not biblical Christianity. Again, you know, you guys have heard me say this so many times, most of you here should be able to finish it before I say it. My father-in-law's famous line, rat poison is 95% pure corn. It's the 5% that kills the rat. And it's the same way. These groups are spiritual poison because they do not. That's the whole point of Christmas, by the way. So, well, I thought, what's this got to do with Christmas? The virgin birth is the point of Christmas. Born of a virgin. Why? Because he's all man, but he's all God. And if he's just born of a man and a woman, he's not all God. And if he's just born of God and not takes on flesh, he's not all man. I don't understand all that, but the scriptures teach it. All God, all man, Kyrios, Lord. Okay, I promise you, some of you are sitting there saying, you left off last week saying we would go to Isaiah 9:6. What's this got to do with Isaiah 9:6? See, I'm reading your mind. Okay, turn to Isaiah chapter 9. Turn to Isaiah chapter 9. And I'll tell you what it all has to do. Kyrios, Jesus is Lord and Lord of all time, right? He's a prophet. He's the priest. He's the king. He's everything rolled up into one. So we come to Isaiah chapter 9. Child is born, son is given. Child is born, son is given. A child is born and the son is given. That phrase out of Handel's Messiah. It's been going through my head for weeks. I can't sing, obviously. But it hasn't kept me from saying it. Over and over and over again. You know, a child is born, a son is given. And you've heard me say before, and you've heard other people, I'm sure, say before in preaching on this particular passage, a child is born. Ah, that refers to Christ's humanity because he's born as a child. Ah, but as the Son of God, he's given as a gift and so forth. So that speaks to his deity. So a child is born, a son is given. It's his deity. Keep going. Here we go. Isaiah chapter 9, this powerful passage of Scripture. We've looked at it the other day when it talked about in verse 1. I'm going to get over here so the sun can illuminate it for me. In verse 1, there will be no more gloom for her who was in anguish in earlier times. He treated the land of Zebulun and the land of Naphtali with contempt, Isaiah 9:1. But later on, he shall make it glorious by the way of the sea on the other side of Jordan, Galilee of the Gentiles. The people who walk in darkness will see a great light, and so on and so forth. Now, he gets down to this famous prophecy about the coming of Mashiach. The coming of Messiah the Prince, the coming of Christos, the coming of the Anointed One. And what's the prophet Isaiah say? Verse 6, for a child, here we go, will be born to us, and a son will be given to us. Now, I've already talked about child being born, son being given, humanity and deity, but look what it says. He doesn't say a son's going to be born to Mary and Joseph, although he was. He doesn't say God is being given to Mary and Joseph, although he was. He says, to us. He's given to us. He's talking about Messiah. A son, child will be born to us. A son will be given to us. Now, and the government, Hebrew word misra. I've never understood this till I started dissecting this. What's that mean, the government? It means all rule, all authority. All existence of everything that is based on anything, everything in all of the world hangs together on this child that's going to be born, this God-man, this Messiah, this Anointed One, the Lord. He says, a son will be given to us, and the Misra, all rule, all dominion, all authority, everywhere in the entire universe will rest. The word means to come about. To come into existence. All authority will come into existence and will continue because of him. It'll be based on his shoulder. And his name, remember what we said, we've learned over and over again, especially in going through the book of Romans for months, name, Sherry, good to see you again. I just saw you sitting there. We've been praying for you. Anyway, his name, what's naming? Name means, maybe they'll edit this out of the tape, maybe they won't. His name is everything that the individual is. It isn't just, oh, your name is John Roots. No, it's everything he is, his personality, his character quality, his characteristics, his name. And so what's it say? Now, you have to understand something. Let me stop you right here. We're going to read. And what's it going to say? His name is Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Five descriptions are given there. There's a type of poetry. There's a type of rhyming that in Hebrew, in the language. It's called chiasm. Chiastic, C-H-I-A-S-T-I-C. Chiastic parallelism. Okay, well, and this will, by the way, this will enrich your reading of Proverbs and certain other genres of Scripture. Chiastic parallelism. See, you and I, in English, we think of poetry, or we think of, I should say, we do have poetry that doesn't rhyme, but we think of rhymes as, Mary had a little lamb, his fleece as white as snow, and everywhere that Mary went, the lamb was sure to go. And okay, snow, go, it rhymes. Poetry, that's a rhyme. Well, to the Hebrew mindset in that culture, there's a mental type of parallelism, a mental type of rhyming. And it's called a chiasm. It's chiastic parallelism. Sometimes it's regular and sometimes it's inverted. I won't go there with it. But let me give you an example of it. And you may have acknowledged, or in your mind, you might acknowledge that you've seen it or experienced it sometime in your reading. Let's say you got seven verses in Proverbs or seven verses in Isaiah or wherever. You got seven verses. Well, the most important, the main thought, the key idea is in the middle. It's verse 4. There's some main idea there in verse 4. Well, verse 1 and verse 7 will say almost the same thing in talking about some aspect of the content of verse 4. And verse 2 and verse 6 will almost be identical, or be very similar, say the similar thing, but they're referring to that main concept in verse 4. And verse 3 and verse 5 will say almost the same thing, sometimes the exact same thing, and they're referring to some aspect of that main thought in verse 4. So the middle verse, if you will, carries the main idea. 1 and 7, 2 and 6, 3 and 5 are, and so you can see where they're from the bottom and the top in or the inside out. They're talking about that central verse, and there's a parallelism of thought, and that rhymed mentally, if you will, to the Jewish reader, to the Jewish mindset. Now, with that thought in mind, you've got five things here in this passage of Scripture, five descriptions of this child. The middle one is Mighty God. Hold that thought, okay? Now, what's it say? The government will rest upon his shoulders, and his name, his person, his character qualities, all that he is will be called Wonderful. The word means marvelous. Austere, meaning totally incapable of comprehension by finite human minds. We wonder at this. It just causes me to wonder. It causes me to ponder. It's wonderful. An overused word today, you hear the kids use, man, that's awesome. Awesome. This is a real application of awesome. It creates total awe in the creature, okay? Now, that's a generic description of this central thing, Mighty God. But let's talk about a title. He's also going to be called Counselor. Counselor. Who is it that gives you counsel? He's an individual who speaks truth to you, who assesses your situation, who is the possessor of wisdom and provides wisdom to you. Well, where do we get our wisdom today as believers in Jesus Christ? We get it from the Word of God. Well, how in the world does God give us that wisdom from His Word? Because what's it say? If you're a believer in Jesus Christ, you're indwelt by the Holy Spirit. If I go away, another comforter will come with you. And don't worry, you'll remember this stuff because the Holy Spirit, when He comes, will bring to your mind all truth. Our hearts are illuminated, if you will. Your mind is illuminated by truth from God's Word by the resident Holy Spirit bringing to bear that truth and speaking to your spirit. So, Counselor. And so, it speaks truth. It's the role of the prophet.
Jesus is a prophet, the prophet of prophets, the source of truth and wisdom. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon as we bring you special Christmas programming and a message titled The Announcement of the Virgin Birth, Part 3. You can download free copies of John's sermons when you visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Just click on the Sermon tab and download free MP3 files of John's teaching. For CD copies, just click on the Contact tab and then send your CD request to us by email. That's reformedlivingministries.org. Now, let's get back to John as he talks more about Jesus, the wise counselor of counselors, the prophet of prophets. Here's John.
A prophet speaks forth truth, if you will. A prophet of God. Now, who is our resident counselor who prophesies to us from Scripture and tells us the truth? The indwelling Holy Spirit. So we've got God, the Holy Spirit, and we've also got the role of a prophet, if you will. He's counselor. He'll be called counselor. Skip over. He'll be called eternal father. Eternal father. Who's a father? A father is the author of life. And a father is the protector. A father is the one who provides for the family. He's the one that sustains. He's the one that guards. He's the author of life. He's the compassionate ruler. He's the king, if you will, if you want to use an earthly example. The compassionate king. Only this one is an eternally compassionate king. He's the eternal father. He can give eternal life. It speaks of what? The role of the of the king, the kingship of Messiah. He's a prophet, counselor. He's king, and he's the father. So it speaks of the person of God the Father. And then what else does it say? He says he's the eternal, he's the mighty God, the eternal Father, the Prince of Peace. Well, what did we say a priest does? A priest brings you into the presence of Almighty God. And Jesus Christ is the perfect mediator, the perfect high priest. Why? Because he makes peace between God and man. You say, I'm a man. I didn't know I was at war with God. Well, guess what? If you don't know Christ, God's at war with you. God is angry at you. God is upset over your moral depravity and sinfulness, mine and yours. But God says, what does it say? You and I, as believers in Christ, we have a ministry of reconciliation. We can reconcile non-believers to Almighty God by sharing them the truth of the gospel of Jesus Christ, and therefore bring peace. So this is the role of what? This is the role of the priest. And who is it who's the Prince of Peace? The second person of the Trinity, Jesus the Christ. So what? Put it all together. And by the way, they all describe what? The middle phrase, mighty God. So if you put it all together, and he shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, Mighty God, Eternal Father, Prince of Peace. This child, who is the mighty God. He's Almighty God, and he will fulfill all three of his anointed roles as Christos, as Messiah, prophet, priest, and king. And you've also got a representation of every member of the Trinity, God the Father, Eternal Father, the second person, Jesus Christ, Prince of Peace, the third person, the Holy Spirit, the Wonderful Counselor. You've got all three aspects, persons, if you will, of the one God. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one. There's only one God, Yahweh, the mighty God. But he has manifested himself in three persons, and all three members of the Godhead, the Trinity, are here, and they're all subsumed and tied together under that fabulous phrase, mighty God, Yahweh. Forever and ever and ever, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Handel had it right on that score for sure. And what's it say? And there'll be no end, verse 7, to the increase, to the growth, to the manifestation of his rule, his authority, his dominion, his government, or of peace. Forever and ever and ever, your relationship with God is eternally secure through the Prince of Peace, through this child. On the throne of David and over his kingdom, as king, as eternal king, he will sit to establish it and to uphold it with justice and righteousness from then on and forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will accomplish this. By the way, one little theological twist that gets lost on people, and I may have unwittingly contributed to this in the past myself. I even said it earlier, knowing Christ, Savior of your soul, you're saved from the penalty of sin, the power of sin, the very presence of sin, where we will one day live with him forever in glory. And there's a mindset that we die, and as believers, we go off in heaven. And we're going to live forever in that heaven. That's not the case. Think about it. God, with the saints, is going to return at the end of the world. With all of my relatives and yours, and probably with me, because I'll probably die before the end of the world comes. And he'll come back with me and all of that. They come back to get our rarefied, glorified bodies, right? And then what happens? Bang! He stops all the tribulation and sets up a 1,000-year millennial reign, right? But then what happens? And granted, you have to be a premillennial, pre-tribulation rapturist, which I believe the Bible teaches. Otherwise, you're about ready to jump out of a window. But that's okay. And in any event, he sets up his 1,000-year reign of Christ. And then what happens? When it's all over, Satan is unleashed for a time. Certain people fall away, etc. Then Satan ultimately is punished, cast into the lake of fire. And what happens? This earth and is destroyed, and a new heaven and a new earth descend. I saw the new Jerusalem and the new heaven descending, John says in Revelation 21. And it's in that new heaven and that new holy, the curse is reversed in a holy new created world. That happens at the end of the millennium. That happens after Satan's judge. That happens when the new heavens and the new earth are created, which we will populate, and I assume some sort of Garden Eden idyllic existence forever and ever and ever and ever. That's what he's talking about here. And that's in that sense, why did you go off on that? Because I always wondered, well, I know he's going to sit on David's throne for 1,000 years, but how does God sit on a throne? You know, it must be symbolic forever and ever. Because there's going to be a new earth and a new heaven that we live in forever and ever and ever. And Almighty God in the person of Christ is on that throne forever and ever and ever. And so the Davidic promise gets fulfilled in that manner forever and ever and ever. Are you excited about this? Man, I hope so, because I am. In any event. And then what's he say in verse 12? And this will be a sign for you. You shall find a baby wrapped in cloths, lying in a manger. Now, I'm going to tell you something right now. Wrapped in cloths is not much of a sign. I told you before, these people are all registering for the Roman census, and the Jews, either Herod or the Sanhedrin, or perhaps both, wanted, because of the year of Jubilee purposes and so forth, we know from secular, non-biblical history, they wanted the people counted at this time as well. And so I got all these Jews going everywhere at this point in time to meet sort of a deadline of sorts to go back to their original hometowns. That's why Joseph and Mary are going to Bethlehem, because they were of the city of David and they had to go back there to register. They couldn't just walk in Nazareth and say, hey, Roman soldier, I'm here to register. No, you got to go down to your home city. So I got all these thousands, maybe hundreds of thousands of people camped all around Bethlehem and every hamlet known to man at the time. Well, to say that there's a baby wrapped in cloths, get this, every Hebrew baby was wrapped in cloths. That's no sign. Well, then why is it a sign? Well, if the Lord tarries, and I have the privilege to finish this discussion next week, you and I are going to find out why this is a sign, how it works as a sign. And I told you that verse 11 was the greatest piece of news ever broadcast in the history of the world. And you're going to see that in verse, let me check it, verse 14, the purpose of it all. Indeed, the purpose of your very existence. I hope that you will never hear, child is born, son is given. I hope that you will sing it with greater meaning, with a fuller heart, with a deeper understanding of the intense theological, practical significance and meaning. This child is a Savior. This child is the Anointed One, King of Kings, Lord of Lords, Prophet of Prophets, Priest of Priests. This child is Almighty God and everything that implies.
Jesus is Mighty God, one with the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. You're listening to Reformed Living with John Politon, as we bring you a special series of Christmas programs during this Christmas season, and more of a message today called The Announcement of the Virgin Birth, Part 3. If this program is ministering to you, please consider giving back where the Lord is blessing you on the radio, and make a secure, tax-deductible donation of any amount at reformedlivingministries.org. And help us to keep Reformed Living on the air. You can also send donations made out to Reformed Living to John's mailing address, Reformed Living, P.O. Box 386, 4727, East Bell Road, Suite 45, Phoenix, Arizona, 85032. Thank you. I'm Celeste Montague. Thank you again for listening today. And do join us next time as we continue our journey through the Christmas story together and more of a series called The Announcement of the Virgin Birth. Now, here's John to invite you to visit his church and to close our time on the radio today. And a Merry Christmas to you all.
This is John Politon, and you've been listening to Reformed Living. Reformed Living Bible Church regularly meets for worship at 10:30 a.m. each Sunday at 6140 East Thunderbird Road in Scottsdale, and visitors are most welcome. If you're interested in learning more about Reformed Living Bible Church, please visit our website at reformedlivingministries.org. Again, that's reformedlivingministries.org. Until next time, whatever you do, do it all for the glory of God.